Each day, tens of thousands of people cross the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge, which connects Contra Costa to Marin County. The bridge is known for its odd roller coaster shape, and fun fact, it's actually the second longest bridge in the bay. It's an entire mile longer than the Bay Bridge. San Mateo Bridge is the longest. But did the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge really need to be that long? Steve Shea wants to know. He's an Albany resident who crosses the bridge every day, and he reached out to our crowdsourced reporting project, Hey Area, to ask us this.
Why is the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge built on a 4-mile gap in the bay when it could have been built over a 1-mile gap in the bay just a couple miles to the north?
We sent KALW's Lisa Cantrell to find out.
It's 7:45 in the morning, and I'm in the car with commuter Steve Shea.
The traffic was so much lighter today.
We're riding in his silver hatchback.
We are going to get on the freeway right here.
And we're headed from the East Bay to his office in Novato.
Yeah, I've been commuting this job for 10 years now.
That's a lot of bridge crossings. I try to do the math.
So 10 times 52 times 5. Times two.
Not while I'm driving, please.
As we approach the bridge, this sunny morning, the bay looks shockingly blue on either side. Commuters are weaving in and out of the lanes, filing in to get onto the span. Steve points to the shoreline, peeking over the railing just to our right.
That is actually that little peninsula that juts out, that you're saying that would be one of the closest places.
Yeah, that would be a shorter way to go across, definitely.
He's pointing to McNair's Beach. That's the point where Steve actually thinks this bridge should have been built.
If you're building a bridge, wouldn't you want it to be shorter?
So basically, if you look at a map of the bay, just north of where the actual Richmond-San Rafael Bridge is, you'll see these two peninsulas reaching out towards one another like fingers just about to touch. On the west side, it's McNair's Beach, and on the east side, it's San Pablo Point. In terms of places to build a bridge, it would seem almost ideal. The distance really is only about a mile between these two land masses. And yet, in the 1950s, the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge was built at a much wider part of the bay, resulting in a bridge that is almost four times as long as it could have been.
Hi. Hey, how are you?
Good.
To find out why, I paid a visit to transportation historian Louise Dybel. She, like Steve, lives in Albany.
Have you always been like into bridges, or is that?
Well, when I started my graduate studies in history at Berkeley, I decided I was interested in the financing of bridges, and I started with the Bay Bridge.
And as I walk into her house, I notice something on the wall.
Is that like a picture of a bridge right there?
Yeah, that's the Brooklyn Bridge.
She's really into bridges.
To be honest with you, I love the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. I think it's really interesting, elegant design. It's been compared to a bent coat hanger, but I like it.
I tell her about Steve and his commute and how he's a little baffled about the location. Dybel pulls out this huge book and she flops it onto the dining room table.
Yeah, there's a lot of colored maps.
This book is actually a big report from 1951.
200 pages, approximately, and it's got lots of maps and tables and foldouts. This report was the culmination of about 10 years of study by the Division of Highways, or actually by the Bay Area Toll Authority.
Within these pages are investigations, numbers, calculations, laying out the feasibility of various bridge proposals between the East Bay and Marin County. At the front of the book is a map of the bay with lines drawn across it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different viable locations.
Each line was a proposed route for the bridge, and the map actually shows 5 routes that cross the northernmost part of the bay, right between those two jutting peninsulas, where Steve said he wanted the bridge to be.
That right there is like maybe an inch and a half on this map, and that fits at least 2 times, if not 2.5 times, across the actual bridge.
As I'm looking at this map, I find myself totally relating to Steve on this. These shorter routes, I mean, they seem like they would have been an obvious choice in comparison to where the bridge was eventually constructed. So why wasn't the bridge built there?
Well, that's kind of tricky. There's 2 reasons, I think. There's a push factor and a pull factor, right?
A shorter bridge would have been cheaper to build, and that would definitely be a pull factor. But Dybel says there were a lot more push factors. Factors that kept developers from wanting to build the bridge in that location.
There was real
political, environmental, and engineering challenges getting the traffic to the bridges that you would have built to the north.
A lot of this had to do with the Bay Area's oil industry.
If you look up to the north, you'll see these big tanks up on the hill, and those are storing oil and oil products.
On the East Side Peninsula, there were, and there are still to this day, oil refineries.
Any construction could potentially have posed a real hazard to those industrial facilities. And add to that, there was naval oil storage facilities.
Dybul explains that building in that area where there were naval facilities meant having to get federal permission, a total headache.
So that added to another problem. So there's a lot going on. Plus, that peninsula is rocky, and the route they would have had to run the road along included areas with 5% grade. So hilly, difficult terrain. It just didn't make sense.
So whereas the length of the bridge seems so short, so perfect between McNair's Beach and San Pablo Point, realistically, it would have been a total nightmare to build there. Now, consider the route just south, the route where the bridge actually is built. This area didn't have the push factors of steep, rocky topography, no oil refineries, no naval bases, and it had a huge pull factor.
Revenue.
It boils down to money. And for a bridge to make money, it has to have a lot of traffic going over it. Dybul explains that one way to get traffic going over a bridge is to build it in a location where there's already people and roads leading into those routes.
Probably the number one factor was the fact that there was already a ferry in that very location. And because of that ferry, you already have development. You already have people living there depending on the ferry for day-to-day commuting and transportation. I mean, these were automobile ferries, so there was already facilities, always already approaches. 101 already in place. 101 pretty much looked like it does now, back in 1956.
It was a path that connected the most people and roads on one side to the most people and roads on the other side, ensuring the highest flow of traffic and thus, being a toll bridge, the highest amount of revenue.
I don't think this was a controversial decision at all. I mean, it made common sense to the people who knew Marin County and knew Contra Costa County, you know, to build a bridge where the traffic already was.
Okay, do you have 5 minutes for
me to
show you some stuff? All right.
I bring this information back to Steve.
I went and talked to a woman named Louise Dybul.
Okay.
And she is a historian.
I show him a copy of the map from Dybul's big report.
Okay, so I want you to hold on to this. So these were all the proposals, right? Yeah, you can keep it. That'd be awesome. So this is obviously actually where the bridge is.
Yeah.
These were all proposals up here. So this
right. This
right here where you're talking about.
I give him the whole rundown, the rough terrain, the oil refineries, the ferries, and importantly, revenue.
That is really interesting.
So does that answer your question?
That totally answers the question.
Cool. All right.
This is great.
Another Hay Area question answered, another curious mind satiated. So now we can turn our attention to other oddities of the bay.
Yeah. San Francisco is very pointy at this end.
At the Richmond San Rafael Bridge, this is Lisa Cantrell for Cross Currents.
That story was part of Hey Area. You ask the questions, we find the answers. Got something you'd like a KALW reporter to investigate? Go to KALW.org and look for the box that says Hey Area. And while you're on our website, subscribe to our podcast. It's at KALW.org/subscribe. That's also where you can find the very best stories from our news department in a new podcast called The Bridge. Check it out. Our team includes Leela Day, Nicole Grigg, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Jurgen Klem, Abhilasha Madan, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, Andrew Stelzer, and Mary Lee Williams. Today's show was engineered by James Rollins. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by Junk Parlor. You can find them playing at the Intimate Club Deluxe in the Haight on Thursday night. Show starts at 9 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.